Chapter 50. Lysander. Heavy is the head.
So what you're saying is...
Far trails off after Atlas tells him the new order of things.
Your reign will only last 3 weeks instead of 3 years, thanks to Lysander here,
Atlas clarifies. The king sits across the table from Atlas and me in his stateroom. I watch his huge hands, especially the metal one, and wait for violence to erupt as he learns the curtailed length of his reign. Instead, he throws back his head and laughs in sheer delight. A great weight sloughs off him, and tears come to his eye. Atlas leans over to squeeze his shoulder.
"Thank Jove," Far says.
He grimaces when he sees my surprise and taps his monstrous crown with a metal finger.
"Do you think I enjoy the weight of this, Dominus Loon?"
He pushes it toward me.
"The worship of asteroid-dwelling savages? The slaughter of the society civilians? The venal backbiting among Darrow's Volk? No, a single day under the sun with sand between my toes is worth 10 years on a throne. One performance of Giulio Cesare or Parsifal does more for my heart than 10,000 chanting my name. I need no honours. I crave no power. Let me be rid of it all."
I'm stunned.
"You're not angry in the least. You helm the greatest obsidian army since Cthulhu. Power the nations of old Earth could only dream of."
"War has never been my passion, only my profession, Dominus. Once my service to the society is done, I will retire and live out my days eating well, attending the opera, watching races, and swimming in the sea."
Far's eyes are lost for that day. I look back and forth between him and Atlas.
"Then what do you get out of this?"
"Satisfaction. Pride that I have done my duty to help ensure a lasting and peaceful society and the continued advancement of humankind,"
he replies.
"And for myself, a small pension."
"What have you promised him?"
I ask Atlas.
"Less than he is due, and more than he requested,"
Atlas replies.
"A penthouse in Hyperion, a seaside retreat on Venus, a Pegasus ranch in Switzerland."
Far's eyes go distant and dreamy at that one.
"A telomerase tank, a carver, a new name, and 20 years of peace."
"And a daughter," Far adds.
Atlas winces.
"And a daughter."
"Volga,"
I clarify.
"You should see her, Atlas. She is bright, clever, with a mind like a sponge."
"Has she joined you in battle?"
Atlas asks.
"No, I would not press that upon her. Not this world of killing. She is gentle, in a way. She loves animals. It hurt her, the dragon hunt. But she will have flying ponies soon enough."
He frowns.
"She did try to kill me at first, but I reasoned her through it. She saw how often she's been used, and how I asked nothing of her. But she did not join the hunt. It was she who captured their sigil beast, Abraxas, tricked him right into a trap."
He laughs.
"She might be a Valkyrie, but there's a touch of that freelancer in her, too."
He taps his ruined eye.
"A worthy man. Oh, Atlas, I think that grey would have been one of your favourite knives." "Does she know about me?"
Atlas asks, a little perturbed by Far's excitement.
"No, of course not. She believes the same thing we sold the Volk, that we do this to make a kingdom for obsidian."
He pauses.
"I worry she believes it too much, in a way." "And when she discovers that is a lie? Afterward, when you tell her of me?"
Far brushes off the questions.
"She is a creature of the cities. She is practical. She will understand and embrace our new life." "Will she understand, though?"
Atlas asks. Farr hesitates.
What do you mean? Some things we cannot wash off, Vagnar. Once she realizes who you really are, who you really serve, she will abandon you, especially if she believes the Volk should have their own kingdom. You know my own hardship in that.
The two go quiet, perhaps thinking of a tragedy that befell Atlas some time ago.
The only way for her to look past the stains on your hands would be for her own hands to be stained too, Atlas says.
Blood her in battle?
Farr seems hesitant.
Yes, for a start.
Farr looks down in deep thought before nodding at his teacher's wisdom.
She will love me more when she understands my sacrifice. Yes. Thank you, old friend. You have given me much to think about.
Growing tired of discussing Wagner's personal life, I clear my throat. Shall we have the battle plan, then?
Fair enough, Atlas says. The plan is simple. Lysander, after this meeting you will take a suitably battered rim shuttle and travel to the moon Pasiphae with Rhone and your Praetorians. There you will send a message to your fleet telling them you survived the ambush at Kalliki. You will order them to press on and rendezvous with you there. Once they have, you will sail on Io and reclaim the Garter in any way you see fit. Its shields will still be down, so I recommend an iron rain for maximum visibility across the Dominion.
And what of my foe? I ask, and I Farr.
Wagner, sorry. Farr will leave mostly Ascomani behind to garrison the Garter as he sails onward to assault other moons. Exterminate those wretches to the last, and save the citizens you find in their ships, Lysander. The first two waves of transports are already rife with disease and off to the Kuiper, so that extermination is already set in stone. Once you have secured the Garter and installed a core garrison, you will urge all remaining Rim forces to rally to you for a final confrontation with the dread Volsung Farr. In that confrontation, seen by your grateful allies, you will kill him and scatter his fleet to the winds.
I look at Farr.
But it won't be you I kill. I should certainly hope not, he says with a laugh, then more seriously. You will kill Volsung Farr, but Wagner Hefker will be long gone.
Atlas explains.
Xanthus is already at work on a head for you to show the Moon Lords. Wagner here will escape with a select force, enough to be useful to us should we have need of them against Atalantia or the Republic. Now, Wagner, I know the timetable is extremely compressed, but will 3 weeks be enough for you to sack all of the Galilean moons?
Farr considers the question as if Atlas had asked about painting a wall.
Sack? No. Raise? Yes, but we will have to resort to bombardment if you desire that sort of coverage.
That sort of coverage, I repeat. Atlas, Kalliki and Io are quite enough massacre to—
To humble a civilization that brushed off the burning of Rhea in less than a generation? Atlas asks. You said it yourself, Lysander. The Rim is proud and stubborn. They must feel existential fear. Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto must fall.
That's hundreds of millions of people.
Yes.
That's gratuitous, I say.
The greater the trauma, the longer the peace. No. If that's your plan, then kill me and put Atalantia on the chair.
He measures my resolve. It's a bluff. He knows it. Farr knows it. I'll have no leverage until my fleet arrives, yet Atlas relents and possibly always planned to.
Very well. I am not unreasonable. You may choose one moon to spare. Io is finished, so that leaves Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto. Which will you grant reprieve?
I recommend, Farr interjects. Thank you, Wagner, but if this is the only power I have right now, I believe I will trust my own counsel.
I say.
He nods at my respectful correction of his overstep and waits patiently. It is a question of arithmetic, so I choose the most populous by far.
Ganymede. Very well, Ganymede will be spared.
Battler says so quickly it seems as though he knew I would choose it, and may never have meant for it to be raised at all. I feel sick.
Vagnar, you can move on to Callisto as soon as your braves have finished their feast. Europa after that, please. Raise the islands first, then invade the deep.
Far grimaces.
My braves won't like that. The riches are on the surface, and the deep is a death trap. Then bribe them with a feast, with spectacle, Atlas says. Beat them with their own religion. Say their all-father wills it, whatever it takes. Burn all your capital. It'll be their last mission before Lysander hits. There's an infestation there I want rooted out. Apologies. It's hard to forget sustainability of the army is no longer a priority.
It will be done. They do love their feasts, Far says.
And where will you be during all of this, Atlas? I ask.
Oh, you know, around, he says.
Atlas, I just had to choose between moons to spare from annihilation. I'm all in, obviously. If you burn, I burn. If you don't let me into the circle of trust now, how can we work together and, how did you put it, get shit done?
Atlas considers.
Fair. I will be on a moon called Orpheus.
There is no moon called Orpheus, I say.
Not on any map, no. It is an irregular moonlet, 2.1 kilometers in diameter, with an orbit so close to Jupiter and so hidden by the planet's radiation and magnetosphere that few sensor systems would notice it. If they did, their telescopes would see an uninhabited rock of little interest. Inside this rock lies the most secure vault in all of Ilium. This vault is guarded by an elite garrison of Shadow Knights. Its contents are so shameful to my family that not even its guardians fully know what it is they are protecting.
But you do, I ask.
I've never even heard of the term Shadow Knight.
Atlas nods. Shall I die of suspense? Am I in your circle of trust or not?
Very well. I will tell you what even Atalantia does not know, because, unlike her, you won't salivate all over the table. This mission was organized to drain the Republic of its obsidian weapons, punish the Rim, to unite it with the Corps under a sovereign, and to exterminate the Ascomani. Yes. But there is a secondary goal that is arguably more important. As you know, I spent much of my youth in your grandmother's vaults. The stacks there of information you'll find nowhere else. I was particularly obsessed with the relationship between Akari and Selenius. In my readings, I found the true reason for the schism between the founders of our society. 750 years ago, Akari stole a weapon called Edmi from Selenius. Edmi is a virus with a modular half-life capable of targeting any of the 14 colors without secondary transmission to the rest. It is a weapon that will mean the end of war and ensure obedience to the Morning Chair for 1,000 years. What planet, what color would dare raise arms ever again if they knew we could prune rabble-rousers out with the snap of our fingers?
Silence falls upon my heart, and my mind conjures images of pristine worlds and cities where the sun still shines and the wind gently rolls, but are denuded of all human life, empty of laughter. I do not move for a long moment.
Edmi means I devour, I say. In Hittite, no?
Yes. Devour, eat, consume. It is the root of the word edit in many languages.
Edit? As in edit out a color?
Yes, on whatever sphere it is deployed.
Even gold?
even gold.
I try a laugh to dispel the joke. Atlas and Far do not smile. It is hard to embrace the reality of such a weapon. The application may seem enough. Blockade a planet, remove all the reds or obsidians. Sanitary, clean. And in Atlas's hands, a terror like nothing ever seen before. But the ramifications are impossible to fully understand. Wars are inconvenient and expensive, atomics too destructive and radioactive to use without blowback. This is genocide in a bottle. It wraps my heart in a cold silence and squeezes.
You see why I did not tell Atalantia of this, Atlas says.
I nod and look up, puzzled.
Why would the Ra, your family, steal it and not destroy it?
The same reason mankind never freed themselves from atomics. Fear there may come a day so dire it would have to be used.
Atlas opens his hands as if to say, here is that day for the Rim.
That is why I needed Diomedes. Helios told me only a Ra with the scar can open the vault. Fortunately, I have Vela now. I anticipate it will be the hardest mission of my career. I have no information on the base defenses, nor its garrison. I expect I will lose many patriots. When I have Edmi, I will rejoin you on the Lightbringer, Lysander. As for you, Wagner, I fear we will not see one another again until we are toasting Thessalonican red at your penthouse in Hyperion.
I look forward to having you as my guest, Far says.
Interference around Orpheus will be heavy, so if there's any lingering questions, now's the time, Atlas says.
I have one. You've killed your nieces, your nephews, your sister-in-law, and I don't imagine Vela will survive Orpheus. So why is Gaia alive?
Far and Atlas exchange a look of amusement.
Far laughs.
Really, Dominus Loon? What kind of monster would kill his own mother?